Well, hi, everybody, and welcome to our last show of 2020. Okay, and we've got a great guest for a great last show in a terrible year. So welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. My name is Larry Jacobs, so we're going to start the new year off right now with Jody Knopf. Jody's our friend from Palm Beach County Schools in Florida, obviously, okay, where she's an ESL coordinator. All right, we're going to talk about her experiences in dealing with equity with ESOL students. She's going to talk to us about Anchor Learning, what it stands for, et cetera, and cultures of equity, okay, et cetera, creating equity, creating access to learning in this crazy age of COVID, which hopefully will be done by the time we bring Jody back on sometime early next year. Okay, it'll be all good. My name's Larry Jacobs. We're going to archive the show over at our equity website, which is ace-ed.org. That's the home of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. You'll see our icon for our podcasts over there. You'll see our wonderful magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's outlined in green. It's an online journal. Look through it. It's absolutely wonderful. Believe me, it is. Okay, our wonderful advertisers there, to whom we thank for a wonderful year this year. And you should thank them every day because these are companies that do great services, etc. Everything's over there, and everything is free to you as a pre-K-12 educator. Okay, over at ACE, like ACE, ACE-ED.org. Please go over there, check it all out, and join with us. Again, it's free, no catch, etc. Let me say good morning to Jody here. Good morning, Jody. It's Larry.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, my dear friend and friend of my wonderful partner in all this, Maya Appleby, huh? Good to have you here, Jody.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Tell us what you do, okay? You're an ESOL, teaching ESL, a coordinator for the School District of Palm Beach County. I know you're off now for Christmas, et cetera. Tell us what you do. What does full-time ESL coordinator mean?
Well, what I do is I handle all compliance for English language learners. That means assessing their language skills, scheduling. I schedule them in proper classes so that they can build their English language skills as they become more and more proficient. Their schedules tend to change, and I monitor that regularly. I also create professional development for teachers. I am an ESL coach, meaning that I am always available to model strategies in the classroom, and I form community partnerships within the community to promote equity for our ELL learners within the school district.
Let's go over that last thing, which is really pretty cool, I got to tell you. Okay, what does that mean to go into the community and form community partnerships, etc.? That's really cool.
Well, I do a lot of community outreach on behalf of the ELL community. What I've learned is that many members of communities all over this country would love to benefit all learners. They would love to be able to do their part to help education in some way. But they always come back with the same answer. They just really don't know how to make that connection. So I'll go out into the community and not be shy and say, this is what we need from you. How can you help? And they are more than willing to help us, whether it's through monetary donations. For example, a local community church works to gather school supplies in the summer. It's very traditional for these organizations to have, for example, school supply drives for elementary schools. But what I seek to do is remind them that these elementary school students become middle school students where I am located, or they have middle school or even high school siblings who also need the backpacks, the jackets. Yes, we do need some jackets. It does get a little chilly in Florida.
Yep. Yes, it does.
The pencils, even things such as AirPods and headphones now that we're in the age of Anchor Learning, virtual learning. So they work with me to get necessary supplies. Sometimes they're monetary donations. Sometimes it's just overall support for our learners.
I never heard of a position like that. I think that's really interesting. Are there others like you? How many Jodys are there? There's only one Jody, but how many Jody-like creatures are out there doing this?
There are many in our district. Some are known as ESL contacts. And honestly, the way the position comes about, you need to have a certain number of ELL learners in your school. So while everyone needs a position such as mine, not every school has enough ELL learners to have this full-time person. So I have the luxury of doing this as a full-time position, which allows me the opportunity and the time to go out into the community and to build all these partnerships, as well as form the partnerships within my own school, model for the teachers, assist the kids. I do have that luxury of being able to do that full-time.
Okay, and when this is interesting. When I lived in Palm Beach County, by the way, for a while. Okay, and I know it well. Okay, and it's the county above Broward, if I may. Okay, where Palm Beach is, you know, and that sort of thing. It's for everybody who lives somewhere else. All right, but it's a fairly upscale county. All right, how much ES? Do you agree?
Absolutely, especially
yes,
in my area.
Yeah, exactly. Which town are you in, if I may ask?
I am in Jupiter, Jupiter to Cuesta. The county line is about a mile from my house. I am right on the border between Palm Beach and Martin County.
Yep. Okay, where Stuart, Florida is one of my favorite little towns up there. Okay, so I know it well. So it's a pretty upscale place. So my question is, ESL, how does that fit in? How many people are, and I know you don't know the exact number, but how many students are we talking about here that have ESL, not challenges, but have to learn English, okay? Because, again, you're talking fairly upscale. Give people a picture of that.
We have thousands in our district from a multitude of languages. In my school, we have mainly Spanish speakers, but very interesting, we have many Mayan language speakers. We have students from Guatemala, from Honduras. We have many indigenous languages that are not really Spanish. Spanish is actually their second language. In the central part of the district, which I'm sure you're familiar with, around the Lake Worth area, we have more of a Haitian population. We really don't have those too many Haitian Creole speakers in the North End. It just depends upon where those communities are. So I would say Palm Beach County overall is mainly the Spanish languages, the Maya languages. We have Haitian Creole. We also have pockets of Portuguese, and we also have many Eastern European languages as well. We've had students from Turkey, from the Ukraine, from Israel, from Russia. We have a mixture sprinkled, but I'd say predominantly Spanish, Mayan, and Haitian Creole.
And I want to say, I not that it matters to an ESL teacher, it doesn't matter what languages or how many languages there are. Okay. My wife is an ESL teacher, so I know that fairly well. But I must ask you, this is the second time in a week that the Mayan has come up. Okay. Is this a new thing, are you finding? Mayan. And that's Mexican. That's Mexico, by the way, everybody. Isn't it? I'm sure they asked that question.
Mainly Guatemala. We have students mainly from Guatemala. The other unique thing, aside from them being Mayan, is that we have many cultures that the students come with gaps in their learning. They come from horrific situations in their countries that are just ravaged by war and violence. And so we have very unique situations. So when you're talking about the Mayan situation coming up, you know, it's, say yes, definitely in the Jupiter area, and I'm sure you're familiar. So yes, the Mayan population is very much exploding because they have such a need to be safe, and they have such a desire for their children to be safe. So the migratory patterns, they tend to ebb and flow, but there's definitely a reason for this migration.
And let me just change for a second, because you're mentioning a bunch of countries and you're they want their kids to be safe, and they come from countries where there is violence. Okay, and that's the word we're using now. The phrase is trauma informed education. Is that affecting your students?
Absolutely, absolutely. Not all of them, but you can definitely tell because the pandemic is also exacerbating it. Because they're not in school traditionally. So the school, and we'll get to that when we talk about anchor learning, is the whole safety net for many, many of these families. And I'm stressing families over students because we are safeguards we work with entire families. So these children suffer immense trauma because some of them are torn from their families. They are living with people who are not their relatives, or they're living with relatives who they've never met before. So there's a lot of separation.
Wow.
Some of them are coming via detention centers. So there is a lot of history with these students, and they are so precious and so loved. But these are also things to consider when you are talking about educating and creating equity for the whole child.
It's scary stuff, and I want you to go over that because Anchor Learning, and I'm getting a feeling Anchor is A-N-C-H-O-R, is an acronym, am I right?
Yes, it is. It is.
And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Okay, is it a local acronym, or is it a national one?
I created it.
Ah, there you go. No wonder I didn't know.
It has gone a little bit global.
Good girl. You go, girl. Tell us about it. Anchor Learning from Jody Knopf, its creator.
Well, I'd like to start a little bit with the background. When the pandemic first hit and the schools closed, I was seeing a lot of posts on social media of parents who were very, very nervous about schools being closed, about students going virtual. Just the whole change was so abrupt, and it created a lot of fear. And so then we started talking about distance learning, crisis learning, all of these terms. And I said, you know, these are very negative connotations that we're teaching during crisis. And coincidentally, my school's mascot is the Mariners. And so we have a lot of anchors in our school. And I thought, you know, I really need to kind of start this crusade or campaign, whatever you want to call it, changing the mindset, because schools traditionally, all throughout history, have been, not to sound cliche, but kind of those pillars in the community, those buildings that have been so safe and where families have really relied upon for safety, for the sense of community. You know, schools in the past were just these places where we sent our children. But think about it now.
It's different now.
Schools have changed dramatically where entire communities meet and congregate for multitude of purposes. We use our big spaces for hosting churches on Sundays and sales and just a host of activities within the community. So I said to parents, via social media, I said, schools will always be that. So this idea of anchor learning is this idea of adaptive and nurturing classrooms are havens for opportunity and and so this idea evolved of don't think of the school as another source of stress and pressure. You have enough to worry about, parents, right now with the pandemic. And what are your children going to do? And how are we going to pay the mortgage? And how are we going to put food on the table? So think of schools as your allies, as those anchors for your families. We need to be adaptive. Schools are always changing, but never more so as during the pandemic. We need to really adapt what we think of when we think of schools. They need to be nurturing. We need to nurture the whole child, not only ESL learners, which of course is near and dear to my heart, but entire families. And that's how the equity is created, by nurturing the whole child and really the whole family. These classrooms, which may or may not be traditional classrooms, but they are havens. They are safety nets, safe harbors, places where families can go and rely upon and create those opportunities for reinforcement. And I want to stress that idea of reinforcement because many families, especially back in March and April and May, they were so worried about new learning and how is my child going to get the next set of benchmarks and the next set of learning tools. And we said, you know what? We're going to work on reinforcing what your child has already learned and build upon that because that's what true learning is really all about anyway. It's about reinforcement and building upon what the child already brings to the classroom. And so that's where Anchor Learning really developed, this whole mindset and culture of really what we've always known all along about the nature of schools and education in our society.
And so you have a, what are the initials in Anchor mean?
The Anchor is, the A is adaptive, the N is nurturing, the C is classroom, the H is haven, O stands for opportunity, and R stands for reinforcement. So adaptive and nurturing classrooms are havens for opportunity and reinforcement. And so there's where your anchor is. And so it's all about anchor learning.
Wow. Wow. It's really cool. And how has this, what's the word I'm looking for? Has it gained traction? Has it gotten, tell me about it.
Well,
where are you?
It has, I believe, because now, at least in my school setting, we never use the term crisis learning. We really don't use the term distance learning too much in our district anymore. We call it virtual learning, but we really do not use those terms at all anymore. And I really try to reinforce and push that out through all of my social media. Just the reminder always that we think of schools as anchors. And I really fully believe because when I brought that into social media back in March and I created these posts of alleviating parents' fears, the response was overwhelmingly positive. Not one parent had a negative thing to say. They said, I feel so much better in this mindset. I'm so comforted and relieved to know that my child's school will be there for me. And so I do believe that it really helped to shape a mindset among families from the get-go, way back in March.
It's really fascinating, and I have to ask you something else. You're working on social media, but you're working with a lot of families that don't speak English.
True.
Am I right?
True. Yes, absolutely.
So how'd you do that?
We host some virtual Anchor Learning parent nights. And what we use, in our district, we use the Google Suite platform. So, for example, we will host Google Meets for families. One of the ways that I know I'm jumping ahead just a little bit, we try to promote some equity is through a Spanish-facilitated parent night to discuss choice programs. The applications for our choice programs for high school, these special programs that different schools around our district have created, such, for example, medical programs, engineering programs, that many English language learners are left out of the loop simply because they don't receive the information or they're not privy to the information in time. I think our district does an amazing job of promoting it in multiple languages. Our district is phenomenal. Our multicultural education, I think, is top-notch. However, that being said, more information is never a bad thing.
You've got a lot of cultures. I hope they're the top-notch district.
Absolutely.
But they are really good.
But more information, more opportunities for that reinforcement is never a bad thing. So our school hosts a Google Meet that talks about the choice programs. It's all in facilitated in Spanish. So we do several of those things. We also have a Google Classroom page that is completely in Spanish. So any announcements are in, for the most part, heritage language for parents, for families, for students, so that they have access. The equity is all about the access. because
it is. That's why we named our magazine Equity and Access.
Absolutely. I mean, the equity is there. We're not denying anyone those opportunities. But the real challenge I always felt was just getting them access to it. So you create those access points through phone calls, through Google Meets, through Google Classrooms, anything that will promote your event, your news, your promotions in heritage language, and those parents will get it. Mm. They want it. They are so grateful for it. And that's been so wonderful to see, that the families, they will come. You just have to provide the opportunity for it and the access for it.
Exactly. And do they feel like they're a part of the community? I mean, it's hard. That's a hard thing to feel a part of.
It is. I certainly wouldn't speak for all families. I feel that they feel very connected to our school. They feel very connected to each other. I will say that I believe that the pandemic has created difficulties for them because there is such a fear of, number one, contracting COVID. Number two, it's the idea that they are not out and about as often as they were. Just like anyone, they are trying to prevent
just like everyone.
COVID from reaching their homes, just like any family. So I would say it has created challenges. So some of them I do feel probably feel disconnected, not because they aren't welcomed by any means. It's the idea of we need to stay at home. We need to protect our families. They are multi-generational families living in one household. They may not have the opportunities and access to the health care that other families have. And so that hurdle and that fear has kept many of them from going out into the community as often as they may like.
Wow. You got your hands full down there. You really do. What do you hear from your school administration about it? I mean, they must be so pleased.
They are. I have overwhelming support from my principal, who I have to say is probably my biggest cheerleader. She pushes me. She encourages me. And the biggest source of gratification is that any idea, no matter how out of the ballpark it is, and I'm thinking of just a few that have come up just in the past few months, I'll go into her office and I'll say, hear me out on this. And immediately do it. Go, do. She just, whatever I can dream, she supports
me.
It's never a, no, I don't think that'll work. She'll say, okay, figure out a way to make it work. But it's never, no, I just don't think that that can be. If I dream it, she will support it.
What school are we talking about? Is it an elementary school, high school,
junior
high?
It's a middle school.
Well, I got
it's
that one wrong.
School,
I tried. I said everything but middle
That's
school.
That's okay. I am in Jupiter Middle School in Jupiter, Florida.
Thank you. And that's a wonderful part of the world. So let me ask you something, okay? Has this been carried over to your other coordinators at the high school, perhaps the other middle schools, and the elementary schools?
In some, yes. Let me provide an example for you. So one of the harebrained schemes that I thought of my first year, which was three and a half years ago.
You're not harebrained.
It was pretty harebrained because it had never been done before. And I always say it was either my idealism, my naivete, or just the wild harebrained scheme that I had, Equity. I had met the former provost. He was the provost of Palm Beach State at the time, and I had met him at an event, and I said, so what do you do for your English language learners? And he said, actually, we really have challenges reaching them, and we would love to have more English language learners, more diversity at Palm Beach State College. So, of course, as I mentioned before, it's
Palm
all
Beach
about
community.
The access.
You mean Palm Beach State or Palm Beach Community?
Palm Beach Community, which is now officially Palm Beach State College. It is a state college.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's cool.
It's fabulous. and it's right around the corner. It's right
yes,
in our community.
Is.
And yet many
wow.
of our ELL learners don't even know it exists because
wow. Of course. Yeah, that makes sense. They wouldn't know it exists. That makes absolute sense.
Absolutely. Okay. Or they learn about it maybe in their sophomore or junior year of high school, when really they could have been preparing all along in middle school through choice programs, through taking more challenging classes, and so forth. So I came up with this idea of taking our eighth grade Spanish-speaking ELL learners on a field trip to Palm Beach State. And they
nice.
Could not have
That's
been
great.
More gracious.
That's great.
They loved the idea. Through a Title III grant to get funds for a bus, we just needed a school bus. The first year, we took about 25 students, and I try to keep it as simple as possible. I tell Palm Beach State I need two things for them. I need to be hands-on, and I need it to be in Spanish. Whatever else they want to do, they have carte blanche. Just make it interactive and make it reachable. Give them the access. And they said, done. What an event it was. So we've done it 3 years running now. We've taken approximately 75 English language learners. Some of them are newcomers. Some of them have only been in this country about 2 months, and they do a hands-on lab in their biology lab. They are learning college-level material while they're in eighth grade. And that has spilled over into the high school. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, have you written this? I mean, you know Maya, who is my partner in the consortium. Okay, you guys are friends. Have you written this up in the magazine yet?
It was featured in my thank you very much for naming me a champion of equity. It was a huge
honor. But that's
honor.
Not enough.
And
I mean actual I mean an actual story. I mean an actual story. I don't remember seeing the story. I may have missed it.
Oh, it hasn't been an actual
Why don't you
story,
do it?
Although it did the district actually did cover it. Whenever we go, Palm Beach County
no.
School District sends one of their journalists to cover it. But in your magazine, no, not yet.
And by the way, let me make a point I forgot to mention. We listed, excuse me for that. We listed the eight first premier champions of equity throughout the United States as voted by our and voted for and nominated by our members and readers. Okay, and Jody was among that first eight. Mazel tov, congratulations, Judy. Jody, Jesus, I'm losing it here. Okay, congratulations.
It was a huge honor. It really was. I was so honored to be nominated.
You honor us by being there. And while we might have written it up in that, I'm talking about a whole nice series. You got to talk to Maya about this. I'll talk to her, too. Okay, we got to get
Absolutely.
This written up. This is really, really good stuff. And on that note, because what we do is national, okay, seriously, where do you want this to go? How do you want it to grow? It's good. You did good. You're going to heaven. But how do you want this thing
Thank
to grow?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is my vision. My harebrained scheme has turned into a vision.
Well, it's not a harebrained scheme. Never was. It's a great idea.
I would love to see this program replicated in schools and communities all around the country. And there are several reasons why. When I first came up with this idea and I was talking to Palm Beach State, they were actually telling me that they were losing enrollment. And I said, I don't understand how that's possible. Palm Beach County School District, just so your listeners know, we are the 10th largest school district
in
the country.
It's huge.
How that is a bargain and a fabulous school be losing enrollment. How does that
that's
happen?
Right.
We have learners right across the street from their campus, and they're not getting enrollment. How does that happen? And I said to myself, well, maybe because there are not enough students to really know how fabulous this school is. And they were lacking diversity. They acknowledged that. They said, we want more diversity. We have these terrific programs. And the provost and I discussed the need. We need bilingual speakers in our community. These are your bilingual police officers, your healthcare workers, your medical teams. And I always said, what happens if, God forbid, there is a Spanish speaker who is on the verge of death, who cannot explain what is going on and what he or she is feeling, and there is no paramedic to communicate with that person? We need bilingual workers in the community. We need bilingual teachers. We need people who represent the diverse community in which they serve. We have a multitude of languages in our district. We have so many cultures, and education has acknowledged that kids need to see teachers and community representatives who look like them. And so where does it start? It starts with educating everyone, right? And so that's how it all developed. I would love to see this program duplicated, replicated everywhere. It's such a great program. It was a minimal cost. I'm telling you, it cost a school bus. That was it. It was a win-win for the community.
It cost
for
what?
Students.
It cost the what, did you say?
Of a school bus. We just had to pay to transport the students from point A to point B.
It wasn't the cost of a school bus. It was just the use of a school bus.
Right. I mean, we did have to pay.
No. A school bus
cost
$100,000. Okay? This didn't. This cost $25 for the rental, or $150 or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely. It was under $200 for the use of that
bus.
I'm
going to introduce you to my friend Peter Finch, who's literally diagonally across the country from you. But he's the assistant superintendent of West Valley Schools in Yakima, Washington. And I do a lot of work with him here on the show on family engagement. And most of the families in that area, a good many of them at least, are Latino. Okay? And they've done a masterful job. And you're facing you guys are diagonally across the country, but you're facing the same thing. You don't have to both reinvent the wheel all the time. Okay? He'll love what you're doing. And I think you'll probably love what he's doing. And you put the two things together. Okay? And it's just wonderful stuff. And there's so many great things out there like this. Okay? And one of the things we're trying to do, okay, with our ACE-ED is to bring these ideas to fruition. Okay, and have a place for them to be shared, and that's what we're doing here. You've done good things, young lady. You should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you.
I'm really proud
of the program. Let me make a point.
Santa is coming. Santa Claus is coming to your house. Okay, COVID or not, all the reindeer have masks on. Okay? And maybe, I don't know, maybe he went to Jared. I don't know, but you deserve it.
Thank you. I mean, it's a huge honor, and to see the kids just engaged. And I have to give kudos to Palm Beach State, because they really, they facilitate the entire thing in Spanish. They take an entire team. They do a tour. They show the kids the robotics lab. This DNA lab, they make DNA necklaces that they can wear their DNA around their neck. It's fabulous, and the kids love it. And they get their little swag bag of T-shirts.
These are kids who will be going to college. Yeah, but there's another thing. If kids have never been to a college is a formidable wall. They don't know what it looks like. They don't know what it is. They don't know there are other people like them there, and they don't think, because their ignorance is bliss, so to speak, they don't think, okay, that they can do the work. And all those things are inaccurate. They need to visit. They need to see that there's people like them there. They need to see that the colleges work with them. And they need to see that, yes, they can do the work. Because a language barrier is not an intelligence barrier.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I love what you just said. That is so true.
Well, it's true. But the kids don't see it. You know, and it always reminds me of when my second son, who's a big guy and was bigger before, okay, he was a good high school football player, but he said he didn't know if he could play college, okay, because he didn't know anybody who played college football. And finally, he met guys who played college football, who looked at him and said, of course you can play. Come visit. And he went to visit and saw that these guys were like him. And yes, he could play, and he wound up playing all those years of his college. All right? And it's the same. It's the same basic analogy. You have to be able to see people like yourself doing what you're doing, and all of a sudden you realize you could do it. That's a big equity and access thing. You did good. You got to go in a few minutes, but
thank you.
Did good, young lady.
Thank you. Thank you.
I mean, Jody,
it's so rewarding to see.
It is.
And you're right. The instructors who facilitate, they make a point of telling these students, I was an English language learner. I was an immigrant. I'm an immigrant, and if I could do it, you can do it too. And they also have women facilitating these tours, which I think is so important for our girls. This is where the equity lies. This is how you bring equity to school. You just provide those opportunities, those access points. You remove the barriers. And for our learners, and I've told Palm Beach State this, the biggest barrier is not the language. A lot for many of them, it's, for example, transportation. They would love to go if they could have a huge mass transit system in our town. We do have buses, but you identify the barriers, you remove the barriers, and those kids will thrive. That is how you
create
equity in your school, in your community, in all over. You just
and I'll leave it on this,
challenges.
Jody. Two things. A, you got to cut. Maya's away this week. Okay, she's visiting her family in Atlanta. The kids are up there. Okay, she's leaving today. But I'm going to send her a note. You guys will get in touch. Okay, and let's get this written up. Okay, that's A. So we'll get it into the magazine. It's a great story. It's a wonderful story. Okay, and B, you're going to heaven.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Santa, look for Santa and the masked reindeer. Okay?
I certainly will.
We got to go, love. We got to go. Okay? Have a good holiday, Jody.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, dear. Bye.
Bye.
Jody Knopf, everybody. We're going to write this up in Equity and Access and get it on the website, okay, in more detail than we have in our Champion of Equity thing, I forgot to even mention it at the beginning, which will archive over at ace-ed.org. You can look at the current issue, see Jody and the other seven that were nominated and elected by you folks, okay, to be champions of equity. All right, in our magazine, it's Green Border, you can't miss it, Equity and Access, our online journal at ace-ed.org. Everybody have a safe holiday. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.